Okay, today's daf is Kedushin daf Samach Gimel. We are holding on daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. We are at the Ikad Amri on daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. The Ikad Amri about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. So we're going to continue to discuss the case of a person taking Trumas and Maestros on Talush from Mechubar, Mechubar for Talush, where the Mechubar is not even fully grown. So we're going to have a different version of the discussion that we had yesterday regarding that issue. Then we're going to talk about Davar Shelo Balialim in more general terms, that we're going to have a collection of three different Tanaim throughout Shas that hold that a person can be Makne a Davar Shelo Balialim, and we're going to elaborate on each of those cases. The Mishnah on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph in the middle is going to talk about a man is Mekadish a woman with an act of service, and whether and it depends on Yeshun L'Schirus Mitchil V'Atsof or Ein L'Schirus Halal B'Atsof, whether an act of service is something they can be Mekadish with, or do we assume that no, it's the same thing as being Mekadish B'Milva. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if the Mishnah on the bottom is going to talk about if the condition that the Tanai that's attached to the Kiddushin is for the father's approval. So what happens if the father does approve? What happens if the father dies? What happens if the son dies? What do we tell the father to do if the son passes away? And there are going to be two basic ways to explain the Mishnah. Then the next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about a father who gave his daughter over for Kiddushin and he forgot or doesn't want to say who exactly the chassan is, and two people claim credit as being the chassan who took the daughter for kiddushin, the husband who took the daughter for kiddushin. So how do we handle such a case? So the Gemara is going to elaborate on some of the details of that Mishnah, and hopefully we'll try to get to the Mishnah on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph today. So let us begin. V'ika da'amri. So this is a second version of the discussion of the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that even if a person says Arugazu Tlushin should be Truma on the Paris Arugazu Mechuberes or vice versa, Likishe Yaviyu Shlish, when they grow to one third of their growth, V'yitlushu, and are then detached from the ground. So he's saying that the Truma should be Chal prospectively when it finally grows and it becomes Peros, it's not even Peros, and is then, so he's trying to get two steps ahead. Not only is it still attached to the ground, it's still not even fully grown. So when it grows and is ultimately detached to the ground, and then it's maybe Shlish and it becomes detached to the from the ground, so Dvar of Kayamin, the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says, you could make such a... you could make such a deal, such a hafrasha would work. So in yesterday's version of the machlokes, they argued about how grown the produce has to be at this point. It's obviously less than a third grown, but at the time that the person says this, does it have to be at least at the point where an animal has what to eat in the field, or could it even be less than that? Could it even be so soft that an animal would have nothing to eat from it in the field? So that was the first version, that was machlokes Rabba and Rav Yosef. But now V'ika da'amri, a different version of the machlokes, is Amar Rabba Lo Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Ela B'Shachas to Be'Kivsha. That Rav Elazar ben Yaakov only says that this works if it's a field that relies on rainwater rather than on being irrigated. So it sort of happens on its own that the field gets watered because it relies on rainwater. Aval Shachas to Be'Shakya Lo. But if it's a field that relies on a person going out of his way to irrigate the field, then it would not work because you don't assume that it's Avidu Da'asi, that it's necessarily going to grow. It's going to require a lot of tipul in order to make the produce grow, and therefore it's considered too far removed for a person to set up a hafrasha in such a way. But Rav Yosef Amar Afilu B'Shachas B'Shakya. But Rav Yosef says, even B'Shachas B'Shakya, even if it's a field that requires irrigation, since after all, it is Shachas right now, it is at least something that is ro'i for an animal to eat, so it is, you do have some produce in the field, you have something to look at in the field, something to identify as being a potential produce, that's considered as if the process is already underway. So Kaman Azla Haditanya Homer Khaver Yaldishkhanakeva Mukadashli Lomarklum, the Bryce that says that if a person is Mekadesh an unborn child. A person goes over, he has a friend, and he knows a couple, and he always thinks about that couple. Wow, they'd be great in-laws. They'd be fantastic. So he goes and he says, if your wife gives birth to a girl, Yisharei Mekadesha, that girl should be Mekadesha to me. So lo amr klum, but v'amr Rabbi Chanina, lo shanu el ashein nishtamu beres. When is it lo amr klum? That's only if the woman isn't pregnant. So there's nothing to be Mekadesh. Avlishtamu beres, tvarav kayamim. But if she's even so much as pregnant, even though the baby is not at all developed and it's totally at the early stages of pregnancies, of pregnancy, still dvarav kayamin kiman. So and I shouldn't say even at the early stages of pregnancy, as long as she's pregnant it works. So kiman, who's that going like? So kishahukarubra v'divrei kol, it would only mean that it's already at the stage of hukarubra, and then it could be going like everybody, because both Rabba and Rav Yosef in this version of things, both Rabba and Rav Yosef say that it needs to be shachas. It's only a question of what kind of field it is that they argue about, but it does need to be shachas. So you do need at least a stage of hukarubra, because that's the equivalent of shachas. Hukarubra is something recognizable, that she's recognizably pregnant 3 months in to the pregnancy. The equivalent of that in the field is shachas, that there's some recognizable growth in the field that the animals would be able to eat. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'Rebbe, v'Rebbe Meir, kulu svirlu adam makre davar shalom el yolam. We can collect three different Tanaim who all hold, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe, and Rabbi Meir, who all hold a person is able to be makna a davar shalom el yolam, something that has not yet come into existence. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hada amrin. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we already were discussing. That's what we've been discussing the whole time, that even though the peros are not yet grown, you can say likishi aviyushlish v'yitlosh, when they grow, when we detach them, then they should be able to be truma, or then they should be able to be covered by the truma that I'm being mafresh now. So that is clearly about being makna a davar shelo b'liolam. Rebbe, where do we find Rebbe talks about being makna a davar shelo b'liolam? Titania, the brisa elaborates on the pasuk. Pasuk says lo saskir eved el adonav. So what's that pasuk talking about? Rebbe Omer belokech eved al menas l'shachra kasav medaber. We're talking about a person who purchased an eved with the tenai that he's going to be mishachra that eved. So hechi dami, what does that mean exactly? Amar Rav Nachum Ritzcha kigon de kasav le likisha ekchacha hariatzmecha kani lach me'achshav. When I buy you, when I purchase you, then you should be kanoi to yourself me'achshav. Going back to right now, which means that you will never actually have to work for me. I'm being mishachar you in advance of purchasing you. So Rebbe holds that that's what the pasuk is saying. Lo saskir eved el adonav. It's as Rashi points out, ashara lebeizdin shelo yaskiru lebailu l'shtabed bo. That Beis Din is being commanded over here not to make this guy work for his master. They're not allowed to make him work for this guy because he's not the master. He already was makning him to himself, and that works even though at that point he didn't yet own him. So it's considered a davar shelo b'liolam. Davar shelo b'liolam doesn't necessarily mean the item doesn't exist. It means that it relies on a situation that doesn't exist. So a status that doesn't exist. This eved is currently the eved of somebody else, so he's not within your rights to be meshachar him, but you're allowed to be meshachrim on the future possibility that you're allowed to be meshachrim on the future possibility that you'll buy him. Now, in the Hagos Haradal, Masif the quotes over here, he points out that if someone buys an Eved, Al Menasa Shachro, it's not included in the Isser that we talk about in Brachos Taf Mem Zayin, that I'm a Shachar Avdo over Ba'asei. Normally, there's an Isser. If you own an Eved Kanani, there's an Isser say in the Torah. The Olam Mem Tavoda, the Torah says, you have to keep him forever. You're not allowed to be a Meshachar an Eved. So the Gemara talks about if you really need him, you need him for a minion, so to be a Meshachar. The Gemara says, Reb Lazar came and he came to shul, and there were 9 people there, and his eved was there, so he's meshachris. So that's where all the Rishonim discuss what kind of minion was so necessary that you're allowed to violate an asay. The Gemara discussed and the Rishonim discussed. So what was necessary to violate an asay? So that's where they talk about Parshas Zachar and Parshas Parah and whatever you may need a minion for in order to fulfill some sort of mitzvah daraisa. But be that as it may, there is generally an issue to be meshachar an eved when you are Kone and Eved al Menas Shachro, shouldn't it be a violation of being Meshachar and Eved? So he says, no, since you're Kone and Eved al Menas Shachro, if you're not Mekayim the Tanai, you were simply never Kone the Eved. So it turned out that Lamafreya, he was never your Eved. So therefore, by definition, it's not going to be a violation of the Olam Bem Tavodu, because if you don't do it, then it will turn out that he was never your Eved, so you never had a requirement of the Olam Bem Tavodu when it came to this Eved. So that was where we find that Rebbe holds, that someone could be Makan Dover Shalom al Yolam. What about Rebbe Meir's? Rebbe Meir, the Tanya. Rebbe Meir is based on the following Brisa. Homer Isha, a man says to a wife, to a woman rather, Harea Mukadeshus Li, La'achar She Isgayer, La'achar She Tisgayri. A guy says to a woman, you should be Mukadeshus to me after I convert, he's currently not Jewish, or after you convert because she's currently not Jewish, La'achar She Shtachar, after I get freed because he's currently in Eved, La'achar She Tishtachari, after you get freed because she's currently in Eved, La'achar She Yomus Baileich, after your husband dies because she's currently married, La'achar She Thomas Achaseich, after your sister dies because he's currently married to her sister, or Li'achar She Yachal Sachi V'meich, Einu Mukadeshus. That was it, right? This is the Mishnah. That the halacha is that she's not, or after you get chalitza, the halacha is that Einu Mukadeshus. But Rabbi Meir Omer Mukadeshus. Rabbi Meir says that such a kiddushin does work, even though it relies on the situation, on a status that does not yet exist. He's not a ger yet. She's not a ger yet. He's not a shukra. She's not a, whatever it is, it's reliance on a situation that does not exist. And nevertheless, Rabbi Meir says the kiddushin is valid. So you see, they can be makna a davar shlo b'liyolam. It happens to be it's not just the chacham that say Einu Mukadeshus. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler agrees with the Tanakhama that Einu Mukadeshus, and it's not just Rabbi Meir who says Mukadeshus. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer Mukadeshus. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that it would work just like Rabbi Meir said. If really it does work, says Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, why would they say that it doesn't work? What's the svara for the Rabbanan to say Einu Mukadeshus? If in reality the halach is mukadeshas, mishum eva, because we're afraid that it's going to put some stress on the existing marriage, meaning people probably won't take too kindly to the fact that his guy won't take too kindly to the fact that his wife has already accepted kiddushin for after he dies. It's generally not such a classy thing to do, so we don't want to do that into the marriage. That's why we say einu mukadeshas, to discourage such behavior. Frankly, Gemara v'nichshav nami Rabbi Danasi, we try to collect all the Tanan that hold that a person can make a davar shlo b'al yolam, and we collected three, but then we just said Rabbi Danasi agrees with Rabbi Meir on the very point where a Meir holds that he could be make a davar shlo b'al yolam. So shouldn't we have a fourth Tana? Shouldn't we have Rabbi Danasi as well? So the Gemara says, Hainu Rabbi, Hainu Rabbi Danasi. Well, Rabbi and Rabbi Danasi are the same person, and we do have Rabbi on the list already from the case of Lokeach Eved al Menas L'Shachro. So obviously, you don't have to have Rebbe on the list twice, so that's why we don't mention Rebbe Danasi separately. So, but we should have Rebbe Akiva on the list because there's somewhere else where Rebbe Akiva in fact says this. Where do we have Rebbe Akiva? D'Tanya, Konim Shaniyosa L'Picha Ein Sarich L'Hafer. If a woman takes a neder that whatever I produce, whatever Maisi Adayim I make should be a Konim, should be like a Hegdish to you, that you shouldn't be able to get any enough from it, the husband doesn't need to be made for the neder. It's not even necessary because the neder is not binding at all. Pashtus is because whatever she's taking the neder on doesn't exist yet. She's taking a neder on Maisi Adayim that she has not yet produced. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yafer, he does need to be made for that neder in order to be able to get hana from anything that she makes, because even though she doesn't have the rights to be Makdish or to Aser, that which she's Meshubad to make for him, and she does have to give him her Maisi Adayim, but there is a concern, she might produce more Maisi Adayim than necessary, and that he actually is deserving of, and it's for that the neder would be chal, and that's why he has to be made for the neder. Oh, but the neder is going to be chal, even though the Maisi Adayim don't exist. So don't you see that a person can be makdish dover shlo ba li olam, Rambam. So you see, Rabbi Akiva should be added to our list of Tanaim that hold this way. And so Gemara, Yid Mar Allah, Amar Afun Rabbi Yeshua, Ba Omeres, Yikdashu Yaday Lo Seyem, Viyadayim Isnu Ba Olam. Now, the case is where she said, let my hands be Kadosh Le Oseyem, for that which they produce. And her hands are, in fact, Isnu Ba'olam, they're in fact in the world already. It's not a davar shalom ba'liyolam. So she's not being maktish the mice yadayim, which is lo ba'liyolam. Rather, she's being maktish her yadayim themselves. Just going back on Rabbi Meir, where he says, Hare mekudesh l'ach she'ez gayir, where a Meir holds mekudeshes, Tosus and Maseches Ksuvus asks, Tosus and Ksuvus Daf Nun Ches asks from the Gemara in Gittin Daf Yud Gimel that even Rabbi Meir holds a person can be makna davar shalom ba'liyolam. It's dafka when you're makna an object to a person who is already in the olam, but to be makna li adam shalom ba'liyolam, even Rabbi Meir would say is not kona. Even Rabbi Meir would say is no good. That's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Gittin, that there's a difference between makna davar shalom ba'liyolam to be and being makna li davar shalom. So the question then becomes, how can a person, how can the woman be makna herself, lidavar shalom b'liyolam, that the kohen is the mekadesh over here, and he's ena ba'olam, because he's still a guy. If he says, after I convert, well, right now, he's considered lo b'liyolam. So Tos suggests that a ger is not considered so much ena ba'olam, because he's physically ba'olam. It's just that his status is eno ba'olam. The whole chiddush that the Gemara has, that you can be makna davar shalom b'liyolam, but not lidavar shalom b'liyolam, is when you're talking about something that's mamish, not in the world, something that even physically is not in the world. So that's where Meir holds that it will be kona over here. It's not like that which is not yet born, which is not bi'olam whatsoever. So even though we said that davar shalom b'liyolam sometimes is only about a status, it's about a situation that's lo b'liyolam, and it's not always about something that doesn't exist. The rules may be different about something that doesn't exist at all versus something that exists, but the status is just not there yet. It may be a more intense form of lo b'liyolam when you have something that doesn't exist. When you have something that doesn't exist at all. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer li'isha. A guy says to a woman, Hare mekadesh li'am nasha adabar lach shilton. I'm mekadesh al menas that I will do you the service of speaking to the government on your behalf. I'll fight your parking ticket for you. Ve'asimach kepoel, or al menas that I'll work for you. I'll do some work for you in your house. Dibra le'al shilton ve'asimach kepoel mekadeshes. If he does those things, then it works. She's mekadeshes. Ve'imlav ena mekadeshes. And if he doesn't do those things, then it's ena mekadeshes, then it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, Amar Eish Lakish, v'hu shenasal na shava pruta. That's provided that he also gave her a shava pruta, meaning what he's saying over here is a tanai, but it's not a maisa kiddushin. The maisa kiddushin has to be that he actually gives her kiddusha kesef, that he actually gives her a shava pruta, but the actual payment that he deserves for doing these acts of service, that alone would not be kesef kiddushin, it would not make her mekudeshes. Now the obvious question then is, okay, if he's giving her a shava pruta, and he just makes it tonight, these things are just a tonight, so then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? He makes it tonight, if he fulfills the tonight, mekudeshes. If he doesn't fulfill the tonight, einu mekudeshes. Shkoyach, that's pretty much every Mishnah in the entire Masechta. Yeah, so if he fulfills the tonight, it's going to be mekudeshes. So Rashi explains that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that he can't be mekadesher bischara dibur or the pula, meaning the chiddush is not what the Mishnah says, the chiddush is what the Mishnah doesn't say, because the Tana holds that yeshlan l'schirus mitchila v'atsof, so the payment for the act that he's doing is considered a milva. So Reish Lakish says our Mishnah is talking about where he's mekadisher with a pruta, and whatever service he's doing in the Mishnah is only the tanai, so it has a regular din of tanai. But if he's mekadisher with bischar shadaber lech l'shilton and he doesn't give her an extra pruta, ena mekadeshes, because the payment is a milva, and mekadish b'milva is ena mekadeshes. So that's really the chiddush of the Mishnah, that when he tries to be mekadisher with only the act of service that he's doing, that it's ena mekudeshes. So the Mishnah sets up a case where he does an act of service plus giving her a shava pruta, and that's where it is mekudeshes. That's how Rashi understands. The Rush in Siman Zayin writes that Tosfos explains that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that she can't say Lola Zahaya Ritzoni, that I didn't intend that he should say those words to the government. You know, I wanted him to fight my parking ticket for me. I didn't want him to fight by pleading insanity or by whatever, by saying something crazy, that I wasn't interested in those words, or I didn't want this specific malacha that he did. No, the chiddush is that as long as he was mekayim the Tanai, he said words, and what he did is a technical fulfillment of the Tanai, even though she's claiming she didn't want the Tanai fulfilled in that way, nevertheless, it's going to be Mekudeshes. Now the Makna points out that Rashi's pshat is quite dachuk, that the Iker Chiddush of the Mishnah is a din that the Mishnah doesn't say at all, and that we only derive from a diuk in the Mishnah. The whole Chiddush is that it doesn't say Bischar Sha'adaber, so it sounds like she wouldn't be Mekudeshes if it were Bischar Sha'adaber. So that's why the Makna says that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is to be Motzi from Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, to tell us, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held on Daf Samach Amud Aleph, that if one is Mekadish Bepruta, Al Menashe Etein Loch Mesayim Zuz, on the condition that I give you 200 Zuz, he wants to be Mekadish with the Mesayim Zuz and not with the Pruta, and therefore she's not Mekadeshes until he gives her the Mesayim Zuz. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that it's not so, that even though he says Al Menashe Adab L'Shilton, he's not intending to be Mekadish her with the money that he's owed for doing that service, rather he's being Mekadish with the Pruta. The service is only a Tanai, it's not viewed as part of the Kesef Kiddushin, like Rav Yehuda held a couple of days ago. That's what the Chiddush must be. So this big machlokas, what exactly the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, according to Reish Lakish. If you assume like Reish Lakish, that he's also giving her a pruta. Ubeschar lo, so frankly, Gemara, but wait, just for the money that he would be owed for doing this act of service, that would not suffice, that would not be enough reason for her to be Mekudeshes. V'atanya b'schar she'er karfticha l'chamor, she'shavticha b'karon b'sfina, eina Mekudeshes. If he says that I'm being Mekadesh you for the money that you would owe me for setting you up to ride on a donkey or to sit you in a wagon or on a boat, it's eina Mekudeshes. Not for the money that you already owe me, for that which I've already done for you in the past. That's where it's Eina Mekudeshes. But Bischar Sha'ar Kivcha Alachamar, Shoshivcha Bekorno Besfina Mekudeshes. But if he says that I'm being Mekadesh you with the money that you would owe me for an act of service that I'm about to do for you, that I will do for you in the future, that is Mekudeshes. So don't you see that an act of service is good enough? You could be the if it's worth a pruta, if the act of service is worth a pruta, you can be Mekadesh with it so long as you haven't yet done the act of service. So how can Reish Lakish say that you need a pruta in addition to the act of service? And don't tell me that that's also talking about where he gave her a pruta, because it says very clearly, b'schar, being mekadesh you with the schar of this act of service. And furthermore, the Brisa says more explicitly, she says, keep me company, and the payment for that, I'll be mekadeshes to you, the value of you keeping me company. Or I want you to dance for me, I want you to put on a comedy routine for me, I want you to do something for me to entertain me. So she says, I want you to build something for me. So we evaluate if it's worth a shavar pruta, whatever he's doing for her, mekudeshes. The act of service itself is enough to be mekadesher. And if it's not worth a pruta, then it's Eina Mekudeshes. But that's only because it's not worth a pruta. So you see that an act of service can be Mekadesh even without giving a separate pruta. And if you're going to say, no, that price is also talking about where he gave her a shavar pruta. If that price is also talking about where he gave her a shavar pruta, and the act of service is just a tonight, why would we need to assess and evaluate the value of the act of service? It's irrelevant. It's just a tonight. No, it must be that that's the kes of kiddush, and therefore it calls for an evaluation to make sure that it's actually worth a pruta. So tiyufta de Reish Lakish, this seems to be a major kasha on Reish Lakish. How can Reish Lakish say that an act of service would not suffice? You need a pruta in addition to the act of service. Apparently you don't need a pruta in addition to the act of service. Amar lach Reish Lakish, hay tana bra savra in l'schiris el l'basof. He says that's the difference. It's machlokas tanaim, said, I understand that price is against me, but that price assumes that in that when you do a service for somebody, at what point do they owe you the money? That they only owe you the money when the job is complete. And therefore, it's not called being Makadish B'milva. You're being Makadish with money, with something that actually has value at the point of completion of the job. But if you hold Yeshlin L'schirus Mitchil V'atzof, that the way we view Tashlum, the way we view a payment for a worker, is that as the work is being done, you owe another penny and another penny and another penny. It's just that you pay it all at the end. But as it's being done, the person who it's being done for continues to owe more and more and more. And then the Kedushin is going to be Chal at the end. But at that point, it's all a milva. Everything up till the last Pachus Mishav Pruta is all a loan that's been accrued over time. And being Mekadish B'milva is Ein Mekadeshes. Meaning the point is, as we pointed out before, everyone agrees Ein Schiris Mishtalemes El Lebesov. Obviously, you're only going to pay at the end. But what's the mechanism of that payment? Is it I'm paying at the end because that's when I owe it, or do I pay at the end because it just doesn't make sense to we gave the imagery, you're taking a cab and as the meter goes up, that you're going to keep throwing quarters at the guy every time it goes up, so it just doesn't make sense to pay that way. So you're practically going to pay at the end, but it could be that it's actually being accrued over the course of time. So my duchke d'Reish Lakish look at the masnisin b'yashal schus mitchil v'atzof ubediavla. But you know, if you just read our Mishnah, the Mishnah really makes it sound like he's being Makadish or with the act of service. So why would Reish Lakish say, no, the Mishnah's talking about where he gave her a pruta in addition to the act of service, and therefore holds Yeshon L'schirus Mitchil V'atzof, and that's why you have to give a pruta in addition? Couldn't he just say the Mishnah is saying exactly what it sounds like it's saying, that he's Makadish with the act of service, and the Mishnah holds, like, just like that Braisa, that Ein L'schirus El L'basof, and that's why it works? So Amarava Masnisan Kashise. Now, when he read the Mishnah, he thought that the Mishnah is very clear that you're not being Makadish with the service that you're providing. My Yirya Detani Almenas Nisni B'schar, because the wording of the Mishnah was Almenas, was that he's making the service that he's providing a Tanai. Why does he have to say it as a Tanai? It should say Bishar for the payment of the service, and that would be the Kes of Kiddushin. The fact that it doesn't use the term Bishar, that whenever you say Almanas, then clearly the service is only a condition, and the Maisa Kiddushin, the Kes of Kiddushin, must be coming from elsewhere, so it must be that he gave her a Shavapruta in addition to the service that he is providing for her, period. New Mishnah. Almanas sheyirtza abba. If a man is mekadish nisha almanas, that daddy is okay with it. So ratza av mekudeshes. Vimlav ein mekudeshes. If the father says yes, that he wants it, well, I shouldn't say he says yes. If the father is ratza, then mekudeshes. If the father is not ratza, then ein mekudeshes. Meis ha'av harizim mekudeshes. If the father dies, also mekudeshes. It works. Meis ha'ben, if the son dies, melamdin av lomar sheino rotze. We teach the father to say that he's eino rotze, that he's not interested in this kiddushin happening. So what exactly is the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the deal is. What does it mean sheyirtza abba? What does abba have to actually say? Does he actually have to approve? Does he have to just not object? We'll discuss that in a moment. But just brings to mind when we say almanas sheyirtza abba, to what extent is it necessary to get parental approval when it comes to getting married? So there is a famous comment of the Rama in Hilchos Kibud Aveim in Siman Reish Mem Sif Chafei, where the Rama says that if a father tells a son, I do not want you to marry that woman that you're interested in marrying, the son does not have to listen to the father. So in the Mesh of Dover, the Netziv in Chelek Beis Siminun points out that that's only if the woman that he's interested in marrying is not a Bizayon Vitzar La'av. The father just has a bug in his head that he always wanted the son to marry his best friend's daughter, and now his son had the chutzpah to go find another girl that he wanted to marry, but there's nothing wrong with the girl. She's a nice, wonderful girl. So that's where the son doesn't have to listen to the father. But if she's mama, she'd be Zion to the family. She has a criminal record, and she's a Zion to the family, and he doesn't want, he's not interested in, she's a drug addict, whatever, it's a Zion that they would marry. So that the father, there's someone have to listen to the father, if it's a Zion and it's Tsar. Similarly, the Sefer Yafal Alev Chelek Gimel Yardeya Sifkan Memdali points out based on the Sefer Chassidim, that if the woman is Eina Tova, then you have to listen to the father, and he's a Chote if he doesn't listen to the father. And the Raya is from Yaakov, who listened to Yitzchak, and he didn't take a wife from the Benos Canaan. So you see that the parents' suggestion really makes a difference if it's something that's about the woman not being an appropriate woman. Rav Vosner, interestingly, in Shevet HaLevi, Simon Kufir Aleph Osid Zayin, in Chelik Beis, points out that any time such a shaila comes up, because it happens all the time, unfortunately, you have these kinds of situations. He says, "Ani machmitz hadin." He says, "I delay in giving an answer, and I wait. Hopefully, the child will see the wisdom of his what the parents are saying, because it's not that the parents are always right, but that very often the child can't even imagine that the parents might be might have a point. That he's so in love, he doesn't see what they're talking about. So he says, I sometimes wait for him to put it together and to see that maybe there's some value to what they're saying. Now, when it comes to a daughter, does she have to listen to her father? Nadav Yehuda has a famous tshuva in Evan Ezer Madur Tinyan Simen Memhei that it's pashut. He says that there's no difference between the son and a daughter, and she does not have to listen to the father if it's against the ratzon. Nadav Yehuda over there talks about a different case. He talks about a case where when the father was alive, he was partners with his brother in business, and they were very close. Reuven and Shimon were very close. Reuven has a daughter, and Reuven suggested, "Shimon, why don't you marry my daughter?" And Shimon said, "No thanks, not interested." And it caused a little bit of a pirud levavos between Reuven and Shimon, and then Reuven died, and now the family doesn't have anything. There's no nedunya, it's going to be very hard to marry her off, and Shimon says, "I'll marry her." Thing is, right before Reuven died, Reuven said, "Shimon didn't want her while I was alive. I know everyone's going to say that Shimon should marry her, and Shimon's going to have a good heart, he's going to say, I'll do it. I don't want her to marry Shimon." So now Reuven died, and now everyone's on board that she should marry Shimon. Shimon's on board, and the mother says, I want you to marry Shimon. So that was the shaila of the Nadav Yehuda. Is that a situation like we had earlier in the Masechta, where father says one thing and mother says another thing, that if they're still married, you listen to the father, or they're divorced, you don't have to listen to either one? So over here, he's dead. So one issue over there is, does death do the same thing to a marriage that divorce does? Meaning, do we say the marriage is over, so now you can listen to whichever one? Or do you have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis element over here? And do you have to listen? Is this even included in kibud in the first place, that he's telling you who not to marry? So that's the context of that Nadav Yehuda. But anyway, that's not really the discussion in our mission. The discussion in our mission is technical din, dine tanai, that he made it tanai, almanas sheyirtza abba. So my almanas sheyirtza abba, what do the words even mean? Almanas that abba is yirtza. So possibility number one, ilema adamar abba in, that he's saying until father says yes, that he has to actually actively say that he's interested in the marriage. Ema mitziyasa meis ha'av harezu mukadeshes, v'lo amar in. Well, then how can the Mishnah say that if the father dies mukadeshes, but the father didn't say in, so it shouldn't be mukadeshes? So says Gemara, Ella, rather the second possible understanding of our Mishnah is that it's almanas she yishtok abba. It's not almanas that abba says yes, it's almanas that he doesn't say no, that he be quiet. Well, then Ema Seifa, when the Seifa goes on to say meis haben, melamdinas hav lomer she narotza, that if the son dies, you tell the father to say that he doesn't want it, amai. Why does he have to say anything? Vashasik. All he has to, why would that work, rather? Vashasik. He was already shosik when he first heard about it, and therefore the kiddushin was already chal. So it's too late. He could scream from today till tomorrow, but if it's almanasha yishtok abba, abba was already shosik. So ela, third possibility. Amar la almanas shelo yimche abba. It's almanas that father doesn't object. So reisha b'chad taima umitziyasa v'seifa b'chad taima. Does that make sense that the reisha of the Mishnah is talking about in a case where he's mekadesh b'tanai, that the father is quiet when he hears about the kiddushin, and the mitziyasa of the Mishnah and the seifa where the father dies before he makes the macha, and the seifa of the Mishnah where the son dies before the father makes the macha, is b'chad taima, is talking about a different situation where you're mekadesh with the Tanai Mefurash Shalo Yimcha Abba? Does that make sense? So I'm Rabbi Yanai in. Yeah, that's what we have to say. That the Reish is talking about one case, and the Mitzias and Sefer are talking about another case. Amresh Lakish. So Resh Lakish comments over here. Shema minamid Rabbi Yanai. Dachkinim makminim asnisim betray taimi aliba dechad tana. Velo makminim bechad tanoi betray tanoi bechad taima. We'd rather say that a Mishnah is talking about two different cases if we can make the entire Mishnah follow a single Tana, rather than to say that there are two different Tanaim in the Mishnah, but these a single case that's being followed in the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says a fourth possibility of what the Mishnah is actually talking about. Rabbi Yosef Barami Omar, Liolam Chad Taimu. The whole Mishnah is talking about one case, and it's also following one Tana. Umay Almanash Yirtza Abba, you know what Almanash Yirtza Abba means? Almanash Shalayimcha Abba, Mikan Viat Shloshim Yom. It's Almanash that daddy doesn't object from between now and 30, not that he doesn't object immediately, he doesn't object for 30 days. So the reisha is that if the father wants the kiddushin, she's mukadeshes, that means that he didn't make a macha until 30 days passed. When we say that im lo ratzav ein a mukadeshes, it means he made a macha b'toch shloshim yom. The mitzias, where it says if the father dies, the kiddushin is chal, is because pretty sure that if the father dies, and with a day later, that it's not gonna, he's not going to make a macha within 30 days. That's why it's mukadeshes. He can no longer make a macha, so the kiddushin can no longer be batel. The sefer that if the son dies, we teach the father could be mocha, even though he was initially quiet, it's because he's got 30 days to be mocha. So the fact that he was initially quiet for a moment doesn't affect us one way or the other. Next, Kiddushti Esbiti. A man says, I gave over my daughter for Kiddushin, but I have no idea to who I gave her over for Kiddushin. And the guy says, oh, I'm the guy. Neman, we believe that person to say that he's the husband. And if he dies or he gives her a get, she's then mutter to marry anyone she wants. If one guy says, I was the one that was Mekadi Shur, and another one also takes the credit, Shneim nosim get, they both give a get, v'imratzu, echa nosim get vechel konis, and if one of them actually wants to marry her, so one of them can give a get, and then subsequently the other one can marry her. So I'm a Rav. Rav just comments this din in the Mishnah. The person says that he was mekadisher ne'eman, that he's believed, that means liten get, ve'inem and lichnos. He's believed we allow him to give her a get so that she will then be mutter to marry whoever she wants, but we don't believe him to keep her as a wife. Neman liten get einadam chalti v'lalo. We believe him to give a get because if he has nothing to benefit from saying that he's the husband, so we have no reason to disbelieve him. Ve'inem and lichnos, ema yitzra tokfa. We don't believe him to actually marry her because it could be that his yitzar hara is causing him to want to take this girl, and he can't just say, so what's the big deal? So he's marrying her. No, because she's married to somebody, and if it's not him, it's somebody else. So then he's violating Yeshus Ish. Ravasi Amar, Afnem and Lichnos. We even believe him to be Kones, this girl, because since he's definitely telling the truth, because he wouldn't be Meiz to be Meshaker to the father, meaning the father was Mekabel the Kiddushin. How could he go over to the father and say, yeah, I'm the guy? Isn't he afraid that the father will say, no, you're not? I don't remember who it is, but I remember the guy was 6'5", and you're 5'5". So there's no way that you were the guy. Isn't he afraid that the father might say something? So there's no way he would be Meshaker in that case. Rav Asi would agree, though, that if a girl says, I accept Kiddushin, and I don't know from who, uba echad v'amar kiddashtia, she'en neman lichnos. And a guy says that I was mekadisher, that he's not believed to be koneser, and we're going to explain why in a second. So the Gemara says, Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, that if two people claim to be the lucky husband, ratzu echad nosin get ve'echad kones, tiyufta de Rav, isn't that a tiyufta on Rav, who holds that someone says that he was mekadisher, is not neman lichonsa, and over here we're saying, as long as we knock it down to just one guy who's left in the run, so then he is Nem on the Kontza. So says Maram Lach Rav, Shaini Hasan, Dikim Dika, Acher Bahadei, Irtuse Mirtas. No, over there it's different because since there's another guy with him, so he'll be afraid that the father will recognize the other guy who as the true Mekadesh and he'll contradict him, so therefore he's going to be masking to be Megarisher. So it's Mestaber that the person who wants to marry her is in fact the one who is the actual husband. Tanya Kavasi Drav. We have a brisa that says just like Ravasi, Kiddashi is BTV and you're dealing with Kiddashtia. Guy says, I gave her my daughter for Kiddush, I don't remember to who. Uba, Chadrama Kiddashtia. And another guy says, I was Mekadisher, Af Neman Lichnos. He's even Neman to take her home. Knasa, Uba, Achrava Amarani Kiddashtia. If he already did marry her and then someone else came and says, I'm the one that was Mekadisher, Lokal Menelosra love. He's not going to be allowed to ask her on the one that already was Mekadisher. He is a Shaman is Kaddashi, Vienna Daslamin is Kaddashi. A woman says, I accepted Kiddushin, but I don't know to who. And someone comes and takes credit. He's not believed to marry her. Now we give the reason for, we mentioned this didn't before, but we didn't give the reason. Because he's not going to worry about lying. He might tell a lie, and he's not going to be worried about being caught in the lie, because it could be that he has a deal with her. She knows she's in trouble because she lost her husband. I mean, she can't find her husband, and therefore she's an Aisha, so she's never going to be able to get married again, and she has no idea who he is. So she's willing to lie in order to be able to play married with this guy. So since she's going to cover for him, he's not going to be embarrassed to lie. So the Gemara raises the following shayla: Ma'u liskal al yado? Is the father believed to say to be that he was Makadish's daughter to be mechayev for skila if she's mezana? We now see her be mezana to someone else. Is she going to be chayev skila? So Rav Amar ain soklin, or Vasi Amar soklin. Rav Amar ain soklin ki himne rechmana la'av li isura l'ktala lo himne. We believe the father as far as iser, but as far as being mechayev misa, that far we're not going to go. Ravasi Amar soklin l'kula milse himne rechmana la'av. We believe the father legabe everything. Amar Ravasi Modina. That I admit that there is one place where we're going to believe him, even only Linyan Isser and not Linyan Misa, and that's Ba'omeris Niskadashti She'ein Soklin. That if she says Niskadashti, we're not going to believe Lemisa. V'am Ravasi, Haini Shmeitza Didi, these two halachos that I said, Mirap Sanigari, they break the rooftops, meaning they're very, they seem like they contradict each other. Hashto Mabe Makom She'im Balichnos Kones, if we say that in a case where the father says Kidashti is Biti, and I don't know to who. Where if he wants to marry her, he can marry her. Amar to soak them, and yet we're still going to say he's going to be chayv skila. Makom shimba lichnos eino kones. A case where the girl herself says in the skadashi v'eni odei alami, where he can't be kones. Eino din shesoklin shirol. The more so, he should be get skila if she's mizana. So why does Ravasi say that there's no skila in that case? So velohi la'av himnei rachmana ledida lo himna. No, it's very simple that we believe the father. We do not. The Torah does not believe her, and therefore you can't get skila al pi dvareha based on her, because b'dinin fashos you're not going to kill based on the suffix. But she's nemenes to aser herself as an eshes ish, because a person could aser could aser themselves to whoever they want. But as far as the chiv misa, that far we're not going to go. Okay, we didn't get quite to the Mishnah, but Hashem, we'll pick up with Rav Chista Amar tomorrow.